Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everybody. We are in Acts. We're finishing up chapter 13 and starting into chapter 14. So get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
And Brett had some final thoughts about that last context in Acts 13.
It was actually really interesting looking at this. In Acts 13, it says here that Paul and Barnabas, they shook the dust from their feet. Let's see, in verse 51, but they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the reason why they shook the dust off of their feet was because the Jews had caused an insurrection, but they basically riled up the people, got them thrown out. And see, it says, but in verse 50, but the Jews urged the devout, honorable women and the first men of the city and stirred up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and cast them out of their borders. So, here they are bringing the gospel to this area, and this persecution happened, and they got thrown out. So what did they do? They shook off the dust from their feet, which is something that Jesus told them to do back in Luke, which Steve has.
Yeah, so this one is in Luke 9. I'll start in verse 5. It says, and as many as receive you not, when you go out from that city, shake off the dust from your feet for a witness against them. And they went out and went throughout the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere.
So this is something that was handed to them. They practiced it and they moved on. They didn't hang around. They just kept going because Paul and Barnabas, and I believe John Mark was with them. It says, they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. So they kept going. These were things that were going to happen eventually.
Well, it said what the Jews did, who were the ones that were supposed to be the friends of God, God's kids, it says they contradicted what they were talking about, and they were talking about Jesus' image in truth. And they contradicted because they were jealous. And they spoke evil.
And so when shaking that dust off their feet, they were a witness, like you went into a court. That created a witness
against
to God that what they had done.
Contradicting what the focus is on, and that's Jesus' character, his heart, and his mind are found in the image, his image. We're telling people about Christ's heart, what's on his heart, what's the most important things to him and his mind. And then they spoke evil, and they're speaking evil of Jesus is really what they're doing. If you're proclaiming what Jesus is and anybody speaks evil, they're speaking evil of Jesus. Now, if we tell about ourselves, then we deserve it. We deserve to be contradicted and spoken evil of because no man is good. That's what it says in the scriptures. But if we're proclaiming Jesus, what he is in honesty and truth of the scriptures, that's what the shaking off the dust of our feet is about.
Right. And so Jesus told them to do that as a witness against them. Here they are practicing that. And it's something that we still practice today. We've gone out door knocking and we'll come up against somebody that...
And you were talking about these aren't the guys that walk with Jesus. These are newcomers, but what about Saul? Didn't he meet Jesus on the way?
Yeah. Yeah. Saul met Jesus along the way. But during that time, it was when Jesus originally gave that command, Paul wasn't there at that point. But
and neither was Barnabas or John Mark that
right.
we know.
So that information had to have been either handed down or directly spoken to, like for Paul, for example, by Jesus.
He met him on the way.
Right.
And he says, why do you persecute me? Jesus said that. He appeared like what? How did he appear to him?
Brighter than the sun? Like a bright light?
A blinding light. He says, I knew a man who so many years ago was caught up to third heaven and heard things inexpressible. If he spent a day with him, that could be equal to 1,000 years. One day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. Can you imagine how much you could learn? A college professor in one day, you could probably learn about 1 hour's worth of stuff. Seriously. Now, if that college professor is an actual person that does things and has experience in it, you're not just learning theory, you might learn, you know, a day's worth, but you won't learn as much as you do spending a day with Jesus. So how about your prayer time? How much do you think you can accomplish in a small amount of time? Then in an hour, how much can you accomplish spending time in prayer with the Lord? Ever think about that equation? Mm-hmm. And Saul was cut up to third heaven or paradise. He says, I knew a man, and he puts it off so people won't worship him. But I think it's pretty evident it was Paul.
And if you read this story, it sounds like they shook the dust off their feet and they went to Iconium. And then the last thing it says, and the disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. So these guys really didn't stop everybody from doing things. They just said, we're not going to sit here and talk to you anymore.
It seems like they were probably embarrassed at the end and see you later. Nobody paid any attention to you. You're looking ridiculous. Mm. Get a job, basically. Go do something that is useful. Those are good pickups. Acts 14, 1 through 7.
And it came to pass in Iconium that they entered together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and of Greeks, believed. But the Jews that were disobedient stirred up the souls of the nations and made them evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore they tarried there, being bold in the Lord, who witnessed unto the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and some were with the Jews, and some with the apostles. And when an onset was made both of the nations and of the Jews with their rulers to treat them shamefully and stone them, they became aware of it and fled unto the cities of Laodicea, Lystra, and Derbe, and the region around, and there they were preaching the gospel.
The multitude of the city was divided. Some were with the Jews and some were with the apostles. That's, I think, a pretty normal thing. So they went together, they entered the synagogue of the Jews. When they went into Iconium, that was the first thing. And a synagogue is where you get together and hear the word. And different people can get up and read. But the Jews were disobedient, stirred up the souls of the nations, which are the Gentiles, I think, and made them evil affected against the brethren. So you have Jewish people there, you know, because the Jews travel all over. You've got business people, and maybe some are ministers. It doesn't say that these are the priests or whatever, but it could even be just Jewish people. They're from Judea, and they could be on business there. Usually priests are Levites, so it doesn't designate exactly these are the leaders in Jerusalem at the temple. This is Iconium. It's in a synagogue. It's in a meeting place. And you've got Jewish people, and you've got the nations are the Gentiles. So maybe some people are still, they're Jewish. They're still hung up in the Old Testament. They haven't converted yet to becoming believers. It doesn't call them disciples. I would think these are Jewish people who've not made the conversion, and they're not. And it doesn't designate them as priests. These are just religious Jewish people. Is that what you get out of it?
Yeah, it looks like that. I like in verse 3, it says here, "Long time therefore they tarried there, being bold in the Lord, who witness unto the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands." So it wasn't just the words that they were speaking, but they were using their hands, and the Lord was granting that signs and wonders would take place.
But the Jews that were disobedient stirred up the souls of the Gentiles.
In the sentence right before that, it says, "They spoke, and a great multitude, both of Jews and Greeks, believed."
Mm-hmm.
That whole multitude. But the Jews that were disobedient stirred them up,
yeah,
the souls of the Gentiles,
right,
and made it evil against the brothers. Mm. And they stayed there a long time. They just didn't run off. They stayed there a long time being bold, and God stayed with them. He stuck with them.
It sounds like the nation, the people that are stuck, they're Jewish. They're from Judea, the nation of the kings. There's a royalty there. There could be a royalty attitude. They're not the ones that went into captivity in Samaria. You know, Joseph's other sons.
Yeah.
Manasseh and Ephraim, they're not Ephraimites that got taken away to Assyria. These are the people from Judea that got to stay longer. The other ones have been transported away. Some of these people are still in Israel, or some have gone to other nations, maybe because of business, but they're just stuck because of their nationality. That's their religion. It just does not say they're priests, does it?
I don't get that out of there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just wild here. A great multitude, Jews and Greeks, believed. And it says the Jews that didn't want to hear it,
the disobedient,
they stirred up everybody else.
Yeah.
And got something going sideways here. And they didn't get discouraged and leave, though.
But maybe these were different family members. Maybe the wife, you know, went with the truth, and the husband and the others.
Exactly.
It sounds more like tribal problems. Is that what you get out of it? I've never looked at this.
And they didn't try to stir up Jews. They just tried to stir up the nations.
This, for a change, is not sound like the priests are not the bad boys here. It sounds like people that are sticking with their race.
Yes.
A race thing.
You know, on another note, though, too, is that the gospel is so powerful that entire cities will get together to hear these things.
I just heard what you said. Did you say this? Here are Jews and Greeks, Gentiles, that are believing. The Jews were disobedient.
Holding to the Old Testament.
The Jews didn't like the Gentiles believing with them. And so they wanted to not have them be part of it.
It could be that, or it just—
But I mean, that's the side part
of
it.
Or just because it's just Gentiles and—
Yeah, they didn't want them there.
And here now, family, you know, family wants to hold together. Different races want to hold together. And here now— Here are these Jews agreeing with these Gentiles over here, and I'm not making that conversion. I'm still in the Old Testament law. It's getting in the way of my family. You know, my cousins, my other work associates, my job.
It's a respecter of persons.
Yeah, you're going to want to trade with a Jew first if, you know, if you've got these really strong family ties and they have these, you know, these work relationships.
They caused this. Yeah. They made a division.
Yeah.
They didn't want them.
This is not, I don't see the priests involved.
They're not even in this picture. It's just
that's
Jews.
That's the first time I've seen
Jews
this.
Not wanting Gentiles.
Yeah. I think it's more racial.
It is. I think it is. Yeah, and after I read the sentence again, I go, wait a minute.
I'm talking about the Jews against the different, all of them.
Yeah.
The nations.
Oh, yeah. They don't want them.
Yeah.
That's the side.
It's kind of a funny.
It's the side that has not been shown.
He does not talk about the priests.
They're not in the picture.
Because that was their job in the temple. But this is a synagogue. And you know, a lot of people go to church to network. That word network, you know what that is? Yeah. Oh, bread.
Business.
Business.
I've watched
Seriously,
that.
They join a church to network. It's all about money.
You know what's interesting, though, too, is some places that are not even church will try to network and make it seem like church. And there's a, you know, they call them pyramid schemes. There's a couple of businesses that do that. And when they get you there, they have everybody sitting in pews. And they're talking about whatever business that it is, but it makes everything look like they're a related family or church.
Well, they are in a cave. That's what church means.
They're in
a cave. That's the Anglo-Saxon word for church. Come to my cave, where church in the Bible is ecclesia, like the Spanish say in their Bible. Ek called out and kaleo called ecclesia.
So where it says in here, the Jews with their rulers, is that like synagogue ruler?
It could be synagogue ruler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've never seen that context like that.
Yeah. So.
The multitude of the city was divided. Some were with the Jews and some were with the apostles.
Yeah, and the apostles, there were Jews and Gentiles.
Yes.
And that mix in any race can be really racist towards everybody else. Any race, you can do that. The other ones always said the priests. Did you notice that? This is the first time I noticed the synagogue of the Jews, and it doesn't talk about priests. And in a synagogue, anybody could stand up and read. Yes, there are synagogue rulers, but it doesn't talk about synagogue rulers. It just talks about the whole lot of them. That's an interesting omission.
And then the bottom line of it was, they said, okay, let's treat them shamefully and stone them. They wanted to kill them.
Well, that's generally what people that are disobedient want to do.
Well, they weren't just talking. They wanted to kill him.
Okay, time to talk about stoning. You know what stoning is? Oh, Steve is cringing. What do you know about stoning, Steve? You're cringing there.
Well, I remember hearing when I was when I first came to the Lord, I was in California at David's house, and he taught on that where they would bury someone halfway down into a almost like a pit, and they would roll like big stones down to them. So it was not.
It wasn't little pebbles.
No.
Is it a stone? Sound like something big.
It's a stoning pit, and it went downhill. I didn't know about the burying, but I did know that they would roll or throw big stones on them.
Mm-hmm. Like, clump.
And it was.
But if he studied it, you know, maybe they were buried just enough so they couldn't move.
Yeah, that's
and then it was bowling.
They couldn't run from them.
They couldn't run from it.
And it wasn't like, okay, now you learn your lesson. It's to put to death.
And this is not quick. Let's just say one of them broke your arm. The next one breaks your leg.
Yeah.
The next one, and you lay there and you're suffering. I mean, they're trying to kill people.
I started mentioning, I can see Steve wincing over there because he's feeling.
Well, I just remember that teaching when I was young, not familiar with the Bible or hearing about that. So,
well, he did more research than I did, so I'd listen to him. But anyway, I know it was big stones and it was called a pit.
And so if we don't talk about this, you people can just read along stone and they have no idea what that means. Yeah. That's what happened to Stephen.
Or you might think it's a fastball-sized stone.
Yeah.
Or you might think it's a softball-sized stone, but not a lot of people think it's a big stone.
And the end result is to kill you.
Squish.
Yes.
Crush. And Paul was stoned and lived. So to survive it is on the miraculous side, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would say that.
Didn't he say he was stoned? Sometimes he's let down in a basket.
Sometimes he's stoned.
And didn't he pay for what he did to others? And I,
because he had him,
it said
had
someplace in there,
he's threats and murder.
Yeah,
right. And Jesus had said, "I will show him how much he has to suffer for my namesake."
Yeah, he was a bad boy, and that's that part where the Lord, because of his love for us, he shows us the other side. I believe one of the best ways to learn a lesson is see the other side of it. And to have that sense, to have that happen to you, I mean, what better way to learn? Hmm. Doesn't sound fun, does it?
You know, everybody's kind of wincing. Woman, the story of Jesus, they were going to stone this woman. And Jesus says, let him who has no sin cast the first stone.
He knelt down and wrote something in
there. Yeah.
Did he write, I've asked people about this, did he write a particular verse down that said something that they were doing that it was going to happen to them? Was there something?
What did he write?
He wrote something down.
Yeah.
God, we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ, you would show us what Jesus wrote that made them all leave. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Because, you know, he never does anything that doesn't have a meaning. He doesn't waste his time. To waste your time, to just doodle.
No, it was that's not there Jesus. Was a purpose.
He wrote something down. I've asked for several years. But I'm asking in a group now. So pretty much God has to do it. Because there's... You guys agree with that asking?
Amen.
You want to know too?
Yeah.
I want to know.
Amen.
Thank you. And thanks ahead of time for showing us, God. We're going to trust you that you'll show us in Jesus' name. And
amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So that's two things, right? This one and the thrice one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We did get us another thrice in there, though.
Oh, was there?
It said thrice again. We read thrice one more time.
But we want to really know about
it. But we don't. But it did. It showed up. Well, that's getting some. It showed up.
Yeah, I missed that.
Oh, you did?
Did you miss the thrice twice?
I think I did.
You missed the thrice twice.
He missed the second thrice.
The second thrice.
But you better not
whoever's
miss
whoever's listening to this going to come in and we'll hear some second thrice. What are they talking
You better not
about?
Miss the thrice thrice.
The thirst.
Was it Peter talking about the thrice? So then he went to the apostles. He explained it to them.
Oh, and he said it again.
I believe that's what that was.
Okay.
Thrice.
We're in Acts chapter 14, 1 through 7. Hey, here we have a 1 through 7.
We did it.
We did.
Yeah, that's what we've been talking about.
We're at 8 through 17. Oh, okay. 8 through 18.
I was looking at the wrong thing. What does it say about the logo of his grace? I wanted to say that. That's why I wanted to look at this.
3.
Verse 3.
Yep.
Read that, would you, Steve?
Sure. Long time, therefore, they tarried there, being bold in the Lord, who witnessed unto the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands.
Grace is unmerited favor. We've not all the whole time we've talked about this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the stair steps, and now Acts. We've not talked about grace. And grace is huge. And the word propitiation, the Greek word hilarious, which the world does not know what that word really means because they have to do with laughing. And it is the means by which God shows mercy, his grace, to sinners. It's grace. It's the grace of God. Unmerited favor is involved in this. We have to know about Jesus' death, blood, and resurrection for the salvation of our spirit, soul, and body. And they are being mean. I mean, it's like a person needs heart surgery and, just throw the body away. Don't perform surgery on him. It's not important. That's basically what people are doing with the grace of God, that Jesus, his death on the cross, brings about grace, unmerited favor that saves our souls for eternity. This is even more, this is better than saving a person's life through heart surgery or anything like that. It's saving us for eternity.
You know, when they preached the word, they preached it in boldness. So a long time, therefore, they tarried there, being bold in the Lord, who witnessed unto the word of his grace. So they weren't being wimpy about these things.
And signs and wonders that were done by their hands. So their hands were involved in this.
Dead raised.
Doing things. Don't know what they did.
The sick healed.
Yeah.
Sure.
All kinds of things could have happened, and they were bold and kept doing these things. And the result was there was a war kind of that went on. People wanted to kill him.
Well, things that Jesus said were going to happen happened, and it didn't take away from the fact that they needed to continue to do this.
It says the Jews that were disobedient stirred up the souls of the nation, of the Gentiles, and made them evil affected. They used people as a weapon. You ever seen people do that?
Turn some people.
They won't have the guts to do it, but they're back behind him like whisperers. That word whisper, Lashash, is actually Satan's name, and that's how he went to Eve. People that won't talk in the hearing of everybody, that just kind of say something, you know, in a whisper. I've seen that, and disrupting people.
And always has lies attached to
yeah.
The distortions.
Or evil intent, too. And so here they stirred him up using...
I was just going to say, that's one of the things that's an abomination to God. Those who stir up strife among the brethren.
Yeah. Discord.
And this song is in Philippians 4:8.
Whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is pure, dwell on these things. Whatever is honorable, whatever is lovely, if these be worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And the God of peace shall be with you. And the God of peace shall be with you. And the God of peace shall be with you. And the God of peace shall be with you.
And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."